Welcome to North Star, where we lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our campus in Blacksburg, Virginia. You can learn more about North Star by clicking on our website, northstarfamily.org. Thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you next time at North Star Church.
We are so glad that you are here today to worship with us. This is a special day for us in so many different ways. Our send-off Sunday we began doing several years ago once we began realizing the privilege and the people every year. And then one of the curses is we have to say goodbye to a lot of people every year. And as a church, that makes us nimble on our feet. We have to be relationally aware. We're not given permission to be relationally numb as Christ followers. And so today will be a day in just a few moments where I'll be asking those of you who will be leaving Blacksburg this year to come up and just stand in front of us as we pray over you and as we send you off. This morning, what I'll be sharing is more of a devotional in nature. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to go ahead and turn there and be ready for that. But as we conclude the devotional time, we'll move into a share time. And we've got two guys in the back that will be running microphones here and there and everywhere. But we want to invite you to share about how God has used this group of Christ followers in your life to encourage you. And you don't have to be one that's leaving to share today. You could just share about how you enjoy investing in people. You could share about what D28 ministry has meant in your life, or what a small group has meant, or what an individual, the worship services, or the teachings, or whatever it may be. But we'll have a share time today. And then one of the last things that we'll do is pray over those who will be leaving. If you've lived in Blacksburg for any length of time at all, you know that there are some unique things about Blacksburg. And I was in staff meeting, this has probably been about 4 weeks ago, and I learned that two of our staff members, who I will not name, Matt and Alex, we were talking about parking in Blacksburg and how frustrating it sometimes is to find parking. I was talking about how I hate the new parking meters that, you know, you put your credit card in there and you're just like, whatever, I hate it. And they just kind of looked around, they looked at each other and chuckled, and I was like, what? And they were like, I know you're probably going to condemn them for this, but we just don't pay for parking. I was like, what? How do you do that? And they were like, we've never gotten a ticket. We've never done anything. I said, are you serious? And I'm like a stickler. I always pay for parking at the meter. And so I was like, this was like a revelation for me. It's like new life was, I was just like, well, maybe they just don't check. And so I was pretty excited about that. So I thought... Yeah, so I thought I would try the Kasiri Simpson strategy, and one day I go to Turner Street Starbucks, and I park there, and I come out. I'd only there for like an hour, and I come out, and I have the little ticket on my window. So I take a picture of it, and I send it to both of them, and I say, thanks a lot. Alex, to his credit, he responds immediately. He just says, oh, no. Then his next text was, where were you parked? And I said, Turner Street. And he responds back, oh, that's a no-no street. Like, that was a caveat that they had not mentioned ahead of time, okay? So the next week, I parked somewhere else that I had permission to park, and Daryl Cook comes running down to the reserve, and he says, hey, you're GMC Terrain Gray, right? And I was like, yeah. He says, it's leaving on the back of a tow truck. Yes, the Kasiri Simpson strategy within a two-week period got me a ticket and got me towed. So that's just some of the distinctives that we all love about Blacksburg, right? Well, being a community of Christ followers in Blacksburg also has a lot of challenges as well. Because one of our commissions as a church is that we want to proclaim the gospel. So when we say that we are a D28 church, think 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 is the Great Commission, and it says that we should go into all the nations and share the good news of Jesus Christ and make disciples. That's our commission. And so when the nations literally come to our doorstep in Blacksburg, and when God brings in new families and students and grad students every year, part of our responsibility and joyful privilege as a church is to share with people the good news of Jesus. How belief in Jesus, faith in Jesus, transforms life from the inside out. But we don't just proclaim the good news of Jesus. Is that we also have to help mature a person in Jesus. And so Colossians 1:28 says that Jesus is who we proclaim, warning and admonishing everyone that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And so in a transitional community where people are coming in and going out all the time, those two commissions and responsibilities keep us nimble. We keep our focus because we realize we only have a short amount of time to share the gospel with as many people as we possibly can. And we only have a short amount of time to begin that maturation process of communicating to people that belief in Jesus is your starting point, your grace point. But it's so important and vital for you to grow in your affection for Jesus and your obedience for Jesus, receiving the mission that he's giving us as a church. And we've communicated for years now, but our vision is that we want to be the church. We want to be his arms, his legs, his feet, his mouth. We want to be a voice of healing to the nations. We want to proclaim the gospel. We want to invite all peoples into a love relationship with him. And so on a day like today, where we both celebrate what God has done in our midst, and we also mourn a little bit as we have to say goodbye to people this year, it's a day for us to ask an honest question of ourselves as a church. Have we been good stewards of the people that God has brought into our midst? Have we been good stewards of the hearts and the souls of all those who have sat within our teaching and our worship services, our small groups, our discipleship ministry, our service opportunities? Have we really been about the mission of Jesus? It's a sobering question for us. And as you'll see in just a moment, as people line up across this stage and they prepare to say goodbye to us in the coming months, some in the coming weeks, it's a real sobering question, is that as we've had them, have we encouraged them in Christ? Have we equipped them in Christ? Have we communicated well what the mission of Jesus is in their lives? Are they content in their relationships with Jesus Christ? So I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And these few verses will kind of be just our launch pad. I'll share with you three quick slides, and then we're going to move into our share time. But Paul is talking to a church that he's visited, and Corinth was also a transitional community in a lot of ways. Paul certainly was only there for a couple of years, and so he had a short amount of time to impact a great amount of people. And he writes this letter back to the people at Corinth, and he says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things?" So in other words, Paul is writing back to this church and he says, "Hey guys, we smell really good to some people and we stink to others. We smell really good to those who know Jesus, because as we interact with one another, as we love one another, as we encourage one another, as we pray for one another, we are the aroma of Christ to God to them. But to those who reject the name of Jesus, to those that who refuse to acknowledge him as Lord of lords and God of gods, we are the aroma of death to them. Our very lives, the way that we live, remind them that they are perishing." And then he continues, he says, "Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." In other words, Paul is saying, we don't belittle the gospel. We're not desperate to share the gospel. We're not begging people like we have like a used car we want to sell. It's like, "Hey, would you just consider Jesus? He's kind of a nice guy. He's saying we're not peddlers of God's word. We're involved in the most significant life enterprise that has ever been conceived. We're about salvation. We're about forgiveness. We're about peace with our Maker. And then he continues in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? That was because when traveling evangelists or traveling preachers would go from these churches that were being established in the day, oftentimes they would come with a letter from Paul or a letter from Peter or a letter from another apostle commending them to the church, saying, you can trust this guy. And the workers that would show up without a letter of recommendation honestly could be worthy of evaluation. But Paul was saying, we don't need letters of recommendation to you or from you. And he continues, and get this, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. I want you to think about what Paul is saying. He's saying that the people in Corinth were their letter to the world. In other words, Paul said, do you want to know how real my ministry is? Go sit down and talk to a Corinthian Christian. We know that the church of Corinth was full of problems. And yet Paul is able to say, you yourselves are evidence of God's activity through us. And then he continues and he says, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You know, the significant thing about a letter, I know some of you are going, a letter? What is a letter? Is it part of the alphabet? Well, used to, they had this thing, this oblong square rectangle, and it was thin, and it was called paper. And you would write on it, and then you would fold it up, and you would put it in another piece of paper that had been folded and glued, and then you would seal it, and you would write, you get where I'm going with this? You would write a letter. You put a stamp on it, you drop it in the mail. A letter could not really be called a letter if it wasn't sent to someone. So let's flash forward to the 21st century. Can an email really be called an email if you never send it? Isn't it just a note or reminder to yourself? It's communication. It's intended to be communication. So when Paul says that you are a letter, here's the implication. When we invest our lives and the gospel in people, when we preach, when we share, when we organize as a church, you are our letter. You are intended to be sent. Your life is intended to be read by someone else. And so when we say live sent, that's what we mean. It's another way of saying be the church. And so let me share with you real quickly on the first slide just some real quick points so we can move into our share time quickly, because I think what you guys will say is more significant than what I will say this morning. But here's what living sent means. First of all, if you're going to live sent as a follower of Jesus, the very first thing is you need to have a DMA, a daily mental adjustment. It's a daily reboot. You wake up in the morning, and I've said it before, but sometime overnight, we all default to stupid. And you know, you got to wake up in the morning, and as soon as you shake out the bleariness from your head, you just say, Lord, I love you. And I offer myself to you today to be used by you. I want to glorify you. Make me aware of the people who I interact with today. It's a daily mental adjustment. The second thing is living sent means kind of the law of real estate, location, location, location. It's for those of you that will be leaving, this is especially relevant. When you get to where you're going, as you're living sent, look around and just ask yourself, where are you really? Evaluate your surroundings. Evaluate the stores you'll be shopping at. Evaluate your place of work. Evaluate your new neighborhood. You are sent there. You've been placed there. You may have thought you chose where you were living, but in a way, God intends for you to be the church where you are. Third thing living sent means is asking why. Why are you here? Well, wherever you wind up, you're there for the same reason you're here. And that's to glorify God. To glorify God. And lastly, living sent means seeing people. Wherever we go, there we are and there they are, right? Remind yourself that the gospel doesn't transmit from you to a fence post. The gospel transmits from you to another person. And so you see all the people in your life, wherever you are, wherever you go, you see them as recipients of the message of grace in Jesus Christ. So practically, let's look at the next slide. Practically, what does this mean for us to live sent lives? And this is especially good for those who are going, but it's also good for those of us who are staying. Is number one is establish prayer and spiritual discipline quickly in your new routine. Anytime you have a life adjustment, anytime you have a life interruption, it's really easy for your daily scripture reading to fall by the wayside. It's really easy for you to get lazy spiritually. But as quickly as you can, wherever you wind up, establish a new routine. Find that special chair in your new living room or wherever it may be. That's the chair that you're going to get up early and spend a few moments reading scripture and praying and journaling or whatever you do with the Lord. Find a coffee shop that's going to be meaningful to you that you can go and spend time in if you need to, if that's part of your routine. But establish those spiritual disciplines quickly. One of the crutches that we've used often, we've told each other, is 8, 12, 4, and 8. 8, 12, 4, and 8. Is at 8 o'clock in the morning, breathe a prayer, reboot yourself. At noon, breathe a prayer, reboot yourself. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, breathe a prayer and reboot yourself. At 8 o'clock p.m., breathe a prayer and let that prayer be your prayer of thankfulness for your day. 8, 12, 4, and 8. Secondly, find a Bible teaching, Jesus exalting church as soon as you can. We will help. If you want to email us, if you want to email and say, hey, do you know of a church in wherever it may be, Kansas? We will do some research. We'll do some Googling. But a lot of times we'll just have to say, we don't know, but it's important to find a Jesus-exalting, Bible-teaching church wherever you go just as quickly as you can because you need community. Don't attempt to do the Lone Ranger Christian thing. Thirdly, please keep us updated. That doesn't sound very spiritual, but in a way, we want to know how God is blessing, how God is using, how God is calling you because we've prayed over you guys a lot. So please keep us updated. And then fourthly, pray for North Star. Pray for us. Pray for this church family. Pray for Jesus to be exalted. Pray for us to be the church. Pray for our boldness. Pray for our joy. Pray for our protection. But pray for us. And then lastly, practically speaking, is create a list. I don't know if you guys do the Christmas card thing, but we do the Christmas card thing. And so we always sit down, we make this long list of people we're going to send Christmas cards to, right? Maybe you do that for a graduation or you do that for other times of life, but you make a list of who you're going to invite people to. Well, make a list and then ask yourself this question. Who am I sent to here? Who am I sent to? That's your list. You start evaluating your office and you think, oh, the cantankerous secretary. That's who I'm sent to. The mean-spirited boss, that's who I'm sent to. The chatty neighbor that I just can't seem to get away from in time, but that's who I'm sent to. Some of you are that chatty neighbor. Ask yourself who you're sent to. And then let me share on the last slide just a few words to those of us who are left behind, so to speak, who will stay and continue to be North Star Church. Number one is resist the tendency to turtle. When you see the amount of people standing up in front of you in just a moment, and you're going to see several people, and you're going to think to yourself, I didn't know they were leaving. And then you'll see some people, and you're going to go, no! And you realize just how much God has used a transitional community to bless us. How thankful we are that God led people to us for a season to help us grow as a church and for us as a church to help them grow as individual Christ followers. But our tendency is, I just put so much time and energy into this friendship or this relationship and they're leaving. Well, get your wah, wah, wah out, okay? Do that today. But as a Christ follower, God has never given us permission to be relationally numb. That's the temptation, isn't it? I just can't replace that person. God has called us not just to replace, but to multiply. God's called us to reach out, to keep offering ourselves, our time, our affection, our love to others. Resist the tendency to turtle. Secondly, pray diligently for those who are going to be leaving and keep in touch. Pray diligently for those who will be leaving and keep in touch. As they stand up in just a few moments, make sure you have a couple of names. Jot down some names. Just say, I want to keep in touch with that person. Get their email addresses or whatever it takes, but stay in touch with them. And then lastly, for those of us who are left behind, it's so important for us to rejoice. For us to rejoice. Folks, it has been such a holy privilege for us to pour ourselves into lives who are going to be going out. We tell people all the time to be the church. You know what we get to do today? We get to send people out with this DNA. We're sending people out praying that they will continue being the church wherever they are. That they will keep living for the glory and the joy of knowing Jesus wherever they wind up. So I hope this has been a meaningful time for you. And I want to just pray. And then we've got a couple of guys that are going to be running the microphone. But after I pray, here's how as we move into a shared time, here's how this could or could not go well, okay? The shared time could not go well if we go into a shared time and you're like, someone else is going to share. So here's what I'd like to ask to do. If there are some of you who are leaving, if you will be some of the first just to say, and we need to keep it super brief, but if you'll just say, I'll share, and just keep your hand up. And we just need, when someone starts sharing, if you're willing to share next, just kind of put your hand halfway up, and the guys with the microphone will make sure that we get that microphone to you so that there is as little lag time as possible. It's all right. Now, after two or three people who are leaving have shared, I want to invite those of you who are staying to also be willing to share and just to kind of comment about how God has used North Star in your life to extend your relationships. And it's just wide open. You can really share about anything. Let's kind of limit it to things about Jesus and not about like what's on sale at Kroger. But we'll move forward in that way. All right? Let's pray. Father, we love you so very much, and we praise you for who you are, and you are faithful, and you are good, and you are amazing. And Lord, we are excited, and yet we are also sad to say goodbye to an immense amount of friends, people that you have used in our church to extend your kingdom and to glorify your name and who have blessed us. And Father, we pray that you would keep blessing them as they go from us. And Lord, for those of us who will be here, vast majority who are staying, God, we're just asking that you give us courage to keep extending our relationships, to keep reaching out, to keep meeting new people, Lord, because the message of joy and hope in Jesus is too glorious to keep to ourselves. And so please refresh our spirits and our hearts so that we might not be relationally numb. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so where's our mic runners? If you'd hold it. Okay, we got Mitch and we got Andrew or Teddy right over here. Mitch has been our intern for a while now. Teddy's a brand new spanking intern, so we'll test him today, his running ability. But if you're willing to share, be our very first person to break the ice, would you just lift your hand up? We'll get you a mic and we'll get rolling. Thank you so much. I was about to say, every passing second makes this so much more awkward. Somebody get this man a new car.
So my name is Jacob. I've been going to North Star all 4 years of my time here at Tech. So I'll be one of those being sent off, I guess, today. So I just wanted to share where I saw God through North Star in my life. So my sophomore year, I'm going to try to keep this really brief. I ended up really hurting myself in soccer. I was on crutches for most of the semester. Because of that, most of the activities I wanted to do weren't really available to me anymore. So beginning, I talked about I wanted to be more involved with North Star. Wasn't really sure how to do that. Well, suddenly I had a lot of free time on my hand, not being able to do much. So at one point, I was on my way to, at this point, North Star was going through this program called How to Be a Romans 12 Christian. So I was on my way there, really struggling to get through campus. It's not very crutch accessible. So this random guy ended up helping me, walked me all the way from Newman Hall over to West AJ where we were meeting. And through that, I got to talk with him. And discovered I was kind of actively involved in North Star and IV, and that he was involved in RUF. And was also just kind of shopping around in ministries. He was a freshman at the time. So I ended up meeting him throughout the semester a few times, just seeing how he was doing and stuff. But it wasn't until junior year that just randomly, I hadn't talked to him for a while, so I was like, you know what, I'll call him up, see how's it going. So it was during that conversation, I just felt like something was missing from it. I was trying to talk about how ministry was going for him and stuff. And at one point, I just felt kind of God moved me to ask him straight up, are you Christian? And his response was no. And that kind of floored me because this whole time I was operating on the assumption that he was Christian, and it took me over a year to realize he wasn't. But through that experience, I've been able to work with him some just to see where he could progress to. Still praying for that situation, but it was really cool seeing how God kind of turned a scenario where it wasn't necessarily ideal for me into a scenario where I can kind of serve his kingdom, his purpose, and I was kind of finding a blessing in a less than ideal situation.
Somebody next, just slip your hand up.
I just want to say, I've also been going to North Star for 4 years, and it really has been the best. It has shown me how I can invest in Blacksburg and not just Virginia Tech.
Somebody next.
Hey, so my name is Jacob. This is my wife, Allie. We're getting ready to transition to Charlotte this week, actually. So we're very excited, a little bittersweet, but we just kind of want to express, I would just say, our gratefulness and thankfulness to our church. We've been involved with our couples small group, which has been fantastic, and we've made a lot of great relationships.
Yeah, I've almost been here for 6 years, so this is really bittersweet. But just wanted to say thank you for the family that North Star is, and just for being with us along the way.
I think, too, we'd just like to maybe send a challenge that if you're not involved in a small group, it's something that you will really enjoy, I think, if you're not. And so we would just like to challenge anyone just to continue with that community and to get involved with a small group if you're currently not with one.
I'm trying to keep an eye on the cheap seats out here, too, so if y'all are out there, make sure you raise your hands really high so we can see you. Now we're going to open it up for anybody, somebody who's leaving or somebody who's going to be staying, if you just want to share and share a testimony or word that God's laying on your heart.
Hey, so I'm Andrew. I moved down to Blacksburg about 2 years ago now. Grew up in Michigan, and it was kind of a last-minute decision to move down here and start grad school at Virginia Tech. I was leaving family up in Michigan and didn't know anyone here and moved down here, and North Star was the first church I tried, visited when I got down here, and I liked it, and I never left, and I never tried anywhere else. So it's just been a great place to be the last couple years. The family that you guys have shown me has been amazing, and getting plugged in with the GAP group and getting involved there. Coming down here not knowing anyone, it's just been a great opportunity to learn more about biblical community. We talked about that at the GAP Fall Retreat this fall, and it's just been so true and so prevalent here over the last year. And it's been a great group of people to get to know and have shown Christ's love to me so much. I got baptized in January, and that was just an awesome experience, and I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be in Blacksburg. And then as I was finishing up my grad program and trying to figure out what I was doing next, I tried really hard to find something here so I wouldn't have to leave, because I really didn't want to leave, and I still don't want to leave, but a great opportunity came up in West Virginia. So I'm sad to be leaving, but we'll see what God has in store for me up there, and maybe someday I'll get to come back.
Thanks.
Hey, my name is Spencer, and I've been going to North Star consistently for about a year now. And one of the coolest things that happened, and like the biggest reasons that I've been continuing to go, is I just met a guy one Sunday named Rex, and he, from getting to know him, he invited me to have dinner with his family, and it was just awesome to like, as a college student, to go and to like sit with the family and just to be with him and be invited into his home. And I think that like a lot of, especially for like the college students, a lot of the like the adults and the families here want to like know us, and they want to like get to know us and to invite us into their homes and to like share their lives with us. And like, I don't know how often like people take advantage of it, but like I know like they want to do that, and I know that like it's just awesome like when we like get to go do that with them and share our lives with them. So and that was just like really awesome and so evidently Christ in their lives that compelled them to just have me over to spend time with them. So like I just think like that's such an awesome resource and an opportunity that we have, and it was just awesome. And like I'm just really thankful for North Star and that's the community that we have here.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Paige.
We've been coming to North Star for about 4 months, and we're really sad that we're already leaving. But this past semester has been super amazing, and I think something that North Star has taught me and Paige is that the power of prayer is super, super powerful. I don't think we really realized that until this semester, so it's something that we can take with us.
And just with our Bible study that we joined here, we just really have never felt God's love so much. I don't know, it just, if we need prayer at any second, we'll just email this thread that's like to every single person in the Bible study, and they will be like praying right now, praying right this second. So I've just never felt so showered in God's love before. Mm. So that's all I have.
Thanks. Some of you are probably holding back. We got one right up here as we're getting a mic to him. A mic to Mike. As you guys are sitting there, some of you are going, I don't want to share because if I share, I might tear up. But some of you have been recipients of significant ministry from your small group or prayer times or gone through times of healing, times of restoration here. And it'd be a great time. If you don't have the courage or you just are not up to sharing it publicly, make sure you pull a couple of people from your small group aside after the service and just thank them one-on-one. But God has really used this group to minister to a lot of people in our church. Mike?
Hi, my name is Michael. I'm a working professional here in Blacksburg. I've been here about a year in Blacksburg, but 10 months at North Star Church. I grew up in a Catholic church. I never really had a sense of community like I have here. And my journey is just starting here. It's almost been a year now. It's really been a whirlwind of community. There's a lot of great older people. Sorry, guys. There's a lot of great younger people, and it's just amazing the love and sanctity that is North Star. And if you're not quite fitting in, if you are a working professional, just be patient. Come to the small groups. There's D28. There's a lot of things out there that can further your walk with Christ. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
My name is Brooke Beyer, and this is my wife, Sarah. And we've been here almost 4 years. And when I came to interview at Virginia Tech, and after I finished the interview, my wife and I had lunch together because she came with me. And I said, I think I'd really like to come here. And she said, what? I thought we were just doing this for practice. But now we absolutely love it, and we're sad that we're moving away. But one thing I did want to say is that I've had the opportunity over the last year to work with the staff at North Star, to be a part of the staff and serve with them. And it is an amazing group of people. And I love them to death. And each one of you, I just can't tell you enough how much I love you and that I'm going to miss you a ton. So thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Yes, I just wanted to give a shout out to the children's ministry and the youth group here. It's been a joy just to see how the Lord's worked in my children since we've been coming to North Star many years ago. But it's just my daughter was baptized here a few years ago. But to see them mature in Christ, both Anna and Austin, and I know that the children's ministry and the youth group had played a significant role in that. It is just such a joy to see the Lord work in young people here. So that's just been awesome. Thank you.
This is the point that people are like, I'd like to share, but someone might be hungry, so I don't want to be mad at me. But we're going to have a picnic on the land in just a few moments, and it's going to be such good food, so there'll be plenty. Anybody else?
Say I'm thankful for my time here is probably an understatement. But I think one of the biggest blessings is the opportunity I've had to be mentored by a ton of different guys, whether that's a couple years older than me or more than a couple years older than me. I've just been completely encouraged and rebuked at times. If Neil Nelson ever asks you, are you sure that's a pride thing? The answer is always yes. But I can just say that the men in this church have poured into me and encouraged me, whether that's as a future of being a working guy or whether it's the future of being a husband or whether it's the future of being a father. I can say that I've had great people to look up to, and I'm really thankful for that.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. If you are leaving Blacksburg this year, whether you're going to college, whether you are got your first job or your family that's transitioning, it's going to be hard, but come on forward. And we're going to line up right here in front of everybody. You may have to do two deep, so just give you a heads up. We could do like the Jericho thing and just have this group walk around the auditorium seven times. See if the building would fall down. Those of you who are in your seats to look at this with some awe and some sobriety. In the past, we've always done two services for Send-Off Sunday. And our staff just realized, when we do two services, the first service doesn't have an inkling of there's that many people in the second service. And so we wanted to have everyone in one service so that you could see the impact that God has had on people and on this church and the impact of what we've gotten to experience in blessing. At some point, God used one of you or those, some who have gone on at other send-off Sundays to influence these to come and be a part of this church. And these aren't just faces, but these are ministers, and these are servants, and these are leaders in North Star. And they have been the church, whether it's been on campus or in the community. And as you begin thinking about this fall, you'll realize that we're going to be about 60 to 80 less people already. And it's just one of those humble realizations for us as a church is that for North Star to impact its community, we have to bless people quickly, invite them into leadership and ministry quickly, and then to take every moment we possibly can to encourage people to love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to serve others. And so let me pray over these. And first of all, if those of you who are up front, if you just kind of look at me, and I'll try to do the sweeping eye contact thing, but thank you for making North Star North Star. Thank you for serving in small groups. Oh, shoot. Thank you for serving on staff. Thank you for your smiles. Thank you for being patient with all of us when we asked your name like 47 different times. Thank you for how you've kept coming. Thank you for how you've invited people. Thank you for how, if we were to ask those of you out here to stand who were invited by one of these, we'd be even more humbled. But we can't say thank you enough for being the church with us. It's been an adventure, getting to baptize some of you, getting to marry some of you, getting to be a part of your lives at this level is humble. And I think everyone on staff would love to come up and say something similar. I think the best thing that we can do is just thank Jesus. So let's pray. Father, thank you for a job well done. Thank you for these faithful servants. Thank you for the great privilege you've given us as a church to pour into these lives and these hearts, to nurture them, to encourage them, to laugh with them, to cry with them, to serve them, and then surprisingly to find out that they give us so much more than we could have ever given them. You are good. God, we exalt you today. And Lord, we're asking that as each of these goes to their places of work, their new homes, their new apartments, overseas, God, we're just asking that you would please do a mighty work through them. Help them to be the church. Give them courage to testify fearlessly to you. We love you, Lord, and it's for your glory and in the name of Jesus that we pray and we ask these things. Amen.